Welcome and have a blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that are in other devices and cannot see and later on record it, have a blessing, everyone. We are going to move on to our youth study, but before we do that, we are going to ask any one of our dear brothers that would like to open with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Our Father, we thank you for in us be able to have the next blessed day. We thank you for having the lessons read, the things we've learned from recently. Now, please be with us as we continue to go on to the next few studies that we will be learning. Let's be able to always be showing reverence unto thee, no matter where we are, no matter what troubles may come our way. Let's be able to always keep on being faithful, be considerate, be thoughtful, be always thinking of others before us, and never to show any despise or hatred towards one another. Let's be full of love, full of compassion, full of hope, to always find grace in thee, that you may be able to help us, just to show us the way. We pray for all Weber and all the other parts of the world that they may be safe, safe where they are. And ask for all ones whom they neglect us, we leave them all in thy hands. We pray that they may be forgiven whatever sins and they've done. For even if anything we try to do to reason with them doesn't work, we leave them all in thy hands. Also pray that you may be able to also keep us safe from whatever dangers that may come, that we may be able to avoid it. But if we must face it, that you may be able to help show us what we can do to overcome it, and also to find courage in thee, so that we may be able to do what is right. Be with us all throughout all our daily lives, and hasten that we may be able to get through them all without any obscurities. But and even if we do, that you may be there to help resolve them. But let us be more like thee and less like the world, that we may be able to keep on finding grace and to keep on keeping ourselves holy as you wish for us to be. Be with us all throughout all our lives, from the time we were born even to whatever things that happen in the future, and that we may be able to help as many souls as we can, that they may be able to understand thee, love thee, and know thee as we do. We love the Lord God and look forward to being like you promised us. This is my prayer, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Welcome, dear ones, to our youth study. We pray that our dear brother will receive healing. I pray that the heavenly guest will be with us as well, that he may recover and may his healing hands be upon him and his family as well. Where we had left off by their brother last Sabbath, it was talking about how important it was to share our testimonies. I really believe that when we allow Christ to be able to touch our heart this year, He also will have others to hear to what it is that we would like to share with them. Because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And it's very important because what they might think is impossible, just with the sharing of your testimony of what God had done in your life, or even what He has done in circumstances that were very difficult, it proves that His word was true. So we are going to continue on the third paragraph, but I would like to read the first two paragraphs for those that maybe were not here, so they can have a little bit of a refreshment of what it was that we shared last time. These exercises drive back the power of Satan. They expel the spirit of murmuring and complaint, and the temper loses ground. They cultivate those attributes of character which will fit the dwellers on earth for the heavenly mansion. Such a testimony will have an influence upon others. No more effective means can be employed for winning soul to Christ. So we are going to pick up on this paragraph, and I'm going to put in the room just in case individuals cannot see where we left off. Just give us a few seconds. So we are in chapter 23, entitled The Lost Vineyard, but in this section, The Church of Today. And I'm going to place it in the room. So this is where we're going to begin. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear one? May you unmute your mic.
We ought to praise God by tangible service, by doing all in our power to advance the glory of the faith. God imparts His gifts to us that we also may give and thus make known His character to the world. The joint holy gifts and offerings formed an essential part of God's worship. The Israelites were taught to devote a tithe of all their income to the service of the sanctuary. Besides this, there were the gifts and offerings, free will gifts, and offerings of gratitude. These were the means of supporting the ministry of the gospel for that time. God expects no less from us than He expected from His people ancient. The great work for the salvation of souls must be carried forward. In the tithe, with gifts and offerings, He has made provision for this work. Thus He intends that the ministry of the gospel shall be sustained. He claims the tithe as His own, and it should ever be regarded as its sacred reserve to be placed in its treasury for the benefit of His cause. He asks also for our free will gifts and offerings of gratitude. All ought to be devoted to the sending of the gospel unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Continuing the reading. Service to God includes personal ministry. By personal effort, we are to cooperate with Him for the saving of the world. Christ's commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, is spoken to everyone of His followers. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. All who are ordained unto the life of Christ are ordained to work for the salvation of their fellow men. Their hearts will throb in unison with the heart of Christ. The same longing for souls that He has felt will be manifest in them. Not all can fill the same place in the work, but there is a place and a work for all. Amen.
Does anyone would like to be able to share what they have observed or what you have been impressed from the two paragraphs that we just read? May you unmute your mic, dear ones.
I just wanted to share, going back to the other paragraph concerning, Lisa struck to me like that, concerning, cheerfully giving to the work of God, tithes and offerings and gifts. I have been experiencing that it really is an abundant blessing to do that, cheerfully so and not grudgingly. And I have experienced that that the Lord is very faithful, because I believe in His word, it states that we are to bring all the tithes into the storehouse and to prove the Lord that, His blessings would be like a shaking down and a pack down and a overflowing, if we are faithful to do that. In doing that, by God's grace, I have to say it that way, in doing that more faithfully as time has been going on, I have to say it is really true. I've never really found myself faithful doing that, really wanting of nothing, and then also being able to have to give to others on top of it. So I just wanted to give that sharing, because it is truly faithful in those areas. And the Word of God says that the Lord God loves a cheerful giver. And that also set me back to thinking about when the sanctuary was being built in the wilderness, and Moses had sent out what was needed for the supplies. There was so much coming in because of the love for the Lord was overflowing in hearts at that time, that He had to actually let them know, okay, there is enough now. So, and I believe that the Lord rejoiced in that, because they gave so much from their heart about that. And I believe that the Lord rejoices when we do the same thing, and He is ever faithful to see to it that all our needs are met and then some.
Amen. Indeed, dear brother. Welcome to the dear brethren that are coming in. Anybody else would like to share? I just also wanted to share something concerning when we give our offerings, free offering, love offering, whatever you can do for the purpose of spreading the gospel. But even if you don't, do you know that when you pray, when there is a petition from any of our full-time ministry brothers that are sharing the gospel anywhere in the world, if you see the petition, prayer is also another way when you don't have any means. You could pray and ask the Lord that they will meet whatever it is that they have, so they can effectively continue the work and sharing. And you know, 3 times it happened to me. There was petition that was brought in, and at the time, I didn't really have any means. So I pray and I ask the Lord to please help in that particular outreach, or in whatever it is that needed. And you know the Lord did answer prayer. Maybe it may not come from you, but it might come from others. Prayer is also very essential, especially when it comes to spreading the word of God and helping to those to further the Lord cry. So I would like to share that particular comment. Who would like to take the next paragraph, dear ones?
Can I share still on this paragraph?
Sure.
I would like to also point out that from my experience in paying your tithes and your offerings, I think there's a lot of faith work that is needed here. And even sometimes when you don't think that you can pay your tithes or give offerings, just pray to the Lord to handle your finances. And just go ahead and do it. And then you will see that everything just comes. That's, you know, everything that you need to be done is taken care of. And I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Does anybody else would like to share? Everything that we have in our lives, it belongs to the Lord. So the best thing is to be able to ask the Lord in what way to be able to handle his sacred money. Who would like to take the next paragraph, dear ones? I think here. Did we did personal? Okay, here.
In ancient times, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses with his meekness and wisdom, and Joshua with his varied capabilities were all enlisted in God's service. The music of Miriam, the courage and piety of Deborah, the filial affection of Ruth, the obedience and faithfulness of Samuel, the stern fidelity of Elijah, the softening, subduing influence of Elisha, all were needed. So now upon whom God's own blessing has been bestowed are to respond by actual service. Every gift is to be employed for the advancement of his kingdom and the glory of his name.
Sorry. Welcome, dear brother. I didn't even know you were there. Welcome, Brother Bob. He also made a comment. He said, it is a test. I'm going to look also in the chat just in case that if I miss anything, I'm going to ask the help of everyone in the room. If I miss anything, dear ones, can you please let me know? Because my computer is loaded with different things and I don't want to miss not one of the comments or anything you would like to share, dear ones. Who would like to take the following paragraph?
All who receive Christ as a personal Savior are to demonstrate the truth of the gospel and its saving power upon the life. God makes no requirement without making provision for its fulfillment. Through the grace of Christ, we may accomplish everything that God requires. All the riches of heaven are to be revealed through God's people. Herein is my Father glorified, Christ says, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. John 15:8.
God claims the whole earth as his vineyard. Though now in the hands of the usurper, it belongs to God. by redemption no less than by creation. It is his. For the world, Christ's sacrifice was made. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John chapter 3, verse 16. It is through that one gift that every other is imparted to men. Daily the whole world receives blessing from God. Every drop of rain, every ray of light shed on our unthankful race, every leaf and flower and fruit testifies to God's long forbearance and his great love. Amen.
Does anybody would like to share on these paragraphs that just been read? May you unmute your mic, dear ones. Who would like to take the following paragraph, dear one? May you unmute your mic.
And what returns are made the great giver? How are men treating the claims of God? To whom are the masses of mankind giving the service of their lives? They are serving mammon. Wealth, position, pleasure in the world is their aim. Wealth is gained by robbery, not of man only, but of God. Men are using his gifts to gratify their selfishness. Everything they can grasp is made to minister to their greed and their love of selfish pleasure.
The sin of the world today is the sin that brought destruction upon Israel. In gratitude to God, the neglect of opportunities and blessings, the selfish appropriation of God's gifts, these were compromises of the sin that brought wrath upon Israel. They are bringing ruin upon the world today.
Amen. Who would like to be able to share what they have understood with the two paragraphs that we have just read?
I believe that the what is impressed upon my heart is concerning these gifts that God gives to us. And the claims also that are made on us are by creation and redemption. I believe it's important that whatever little bit we have, we have that God has given us. And it's important not to try to aspire to something greater than what God has lined out for us and be thankful and grateful for the work, however small or however great he gives us to do in the winning. In this world, there is so much to distract us from and so much in tempting to pull us away from the love of God and the work that is before us in this dying world. Well, I believe we need to really guard the edges of our heart and our commitment to the Lord because of all the mercy and love that's been poured out and because of the need to win so many souls. So sometimes I know that I'm wrestling with that too, of trying to do more than what it is that the Lord has lined out to do. I believe that it's really necessary to accept what the Lord has given, rejoice in that, and do it faithfully. And the Lord will grant peace and joy in those situations. And also, I believe, and I pray I'm not mistaken, that He also will help keep us from a lot of the different temptations that may come because our eyes are focused on Him and the work done joyfully and humbly before Him. So a lot of distractions and temptations can be kept from us, I think, in that way too. Praise God for that. So there is much work to do, and there is much wickedness going on. So I guess it's really important to whatever it is. We may not think we have much to offer the Lord, but the Lord, He just loves a cheerful giver. And whether it's a meal that we are offering, grain or turtle dove or whatever by type, whatever it is that we're able to offer in humility with thanksgiving, and with sincerity in our heart, the Lord receives that as a very precious gift to this. And we should rejoice in that same way.
Thank you for sharing, dear brother. Who would like to take the following paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
The tears which Christ shed upon Olivet as He stood overlooking the chosen city were not for Jerusalem alone. In the late Jerusalem, He beheld the destruction of the world. Could I continue?
Your dear sister, is the fate of Jerusalem. We're going to continue in the following one. If you would like to do the two small little ones, that would be well, dear sister.
If thou hast known even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which beckon unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Luke 19:42. In this thy day, the day is nearing to its close. The period of mercy and privilege is well nigh ended. The clouds of vengeance are gathering. The rejecters of God's grace are about to be involved in swift and in irretrievable ruin.
If anyone would like to be able to share or to comment on the paragraph, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
This paragraph that our dear sister just read kind of connects back to the children's story as we saw what happened in the time that Christ was crucified. That a terrible thing came upon them as the world's Redeemer laid in the tomb. And this same thing, again, that will happen in a very swift and an irretrievable way, that if we don't choose Christ as our Lord and Savior and rest in Him, then we can repeat the same fate of those that we saw earlier in the children's story.
I would like to add a comment to a previous paragraph where it says, you don't have to go back there, but where it says the world is Christ's vineyard. So I was thinking there is the whole world is everything around us and close and far and near places. So if we were ever asking, you know, can we be missionaries? I would say yes, we can be missionaries in the home. We can be missionaries in the workplace. We can be missionaries on the street. We can be missionaries in the hospitals. We can be missionaries in prayer. We can be missionaries in well-doing. So that just came to mind, and I just wanted to share it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. There is just one little sentence before we take the other paragraph. Yet the world is asleep. The people know not the time of their visitation. Just of the Old Testament, people were not aware, even though that it was written, the synagogue or the different areas where they used to hear the reading. Some people heard the reading, but they still didn't understand it. But the Lord did use prophets, and also he moved other people to be able to kind of bring them a little bit aware of the time. It's the same thing that happened in today. We have the opportunity that Joseph Arimathea or Nicodemus has. Joseph saw the life of Jesus as he was reading and beholding him. He started to see all the fulfillments that he had promised. And like Nicodemus, we have to sit at the feet of Jesus, and things that we may not understand, ask that the Holy Spirit will help us, or even the Lord will move souls that will be able to give us a little bit of understanding, not so much their teaching, but they may have materials or things that we may not have to come to a greater understanding of the time. So who would like to take the next paragraph, dear ones?
In this crisis, where is the church to be found? Are its members meeting the claims of God? Are they fulfilling His commission and representing His character to the world? Are they urging upon the attention of their fellow man in the last merciful message of warning? Men are in peril. Multitudes are perishing. But how few of the professed followers of Christ are a burden for these souls? The destiny of a world hangs in the balance, but this hardly moves when those who claim to believe the most far-reaching truth ever given to mortals, there is a lack of that love which led Christ to leave his heavenly home and take man's nature that humanity might touch humanity and draw humanity to divinity. There is a stupor, a paralysis upon the people of God which prevents them from understanding the duty of the hour.
Amen. Does anyone would like to be able to share for this paragraph? It's very meaty, and I pray that if anyone will have, you may unmute your mic. Well, I can only share what I have experienced. With everything that is happening around the world, these things can be a tool to be able to share, because the phone just keep ringing. Some people want to know, do we have an idea what's going on in the world? And we have the opportunity to take them back to the Word of God. We can be able to share the Loud Cry, the Third Angel's message. We can also even go back to many of the things that happen in the scripture, so they can come up a little bit to understand. At the time when Jesus was walking and he was saying the kingdom of heaven was at hand, they didn't have no idea that the kingdom of heaven was him. And everybody was looking for a Messiah that will fulfill prophecies that they misunderstood. They were waiting for a king to sit in David's throne to give them the opportunity to be a nation above all other nations. So it's the same thing today. Present truth, very important, what it is for today, to be able to understand the crisis and the things that are happening in this hour. So by searching the scripture and also looking towards the prophecy, we can have an idea. But praise God that we have the power of the Holy Spirit, that even if we have a wrong understanding, He can teach us to all truth. Who would like to also share? You may unmute your mic, dear ones.
adding on the things that are happening around the world, specifically them bringing about these laws for the Ten Commandments and the Bible to be in the classroom. I had to pause and wonder what was going on there. But if it is to be, then I guess it's time for, because I know there will be errors in the Ten Commandments and Bible, whatever Bible they will choose to be in the classroom, it's still an opportunity for us to correct those errors and openly be able to read the Word of God and correct the errors without any repercussion. And this is what I saw that would be a good thing.
I remember in the past when we was actually touching upon the youth study, that when the Sunday law was about to be acknowledged, if y'all can be able to help me refresh my memory, when the Lord knew that His people was not prepared, two men was given the opportunity to go before Congress. And I believe one of them was Wagner. Not sure. Help me, dear ones. But the whole thing about it is that at the time when they were trying to bring the law, it wasn't so much that they wanted to worship. It was about what's supposed to be open and what's supposed to be observed in that time. You see, the same thing that can happen, a lot of the individuals are wondering why the school at this moment is talking about bringing the Bible and teaching the Bible to the children. But if some people may not be acquainted with, they have a statue in that same state. And this statue is a statue of Lucifer. And it has two children on each side looking up to him. And there were people that was actually placing a commandment next to it, and they kept desecrating it. But when I look at the commandment that was actually placed next to it, if you want, maybe I can be able to show a picture next time by God's grace. Just remind me. And they kept breaking it, breaking it, breaking it. That state right now is very much fighting. There is a lot of Satanists that are actually becoming bolder. And I don't know what is the particular person that did the law, but they know that they will be in a lot of danger if they don't have the children to have an ability to learn who God is. And we have to not only pray for that state, but know that that's how it all starts. It starts a little bit, and then actually it will affect the whole country and then the whole world. Okay. So the Sunday law is something that we already know that is in prophecy, but the commandments, remember that the world knows the commandment based on what has been changed by removing completely the second commandment and taking the 10 commandments separated and the 4 commandments that only have one part that says that we need to acknowledge the Sabbath. But then today, Sabbath, a lot of people have it as Sunday. So this is a very great opportunity, not only to share, but to bring them back to what thus said the Lord, according to the scripture, even though they have so many different versions. But besides we have also history to be able to help them along as well. So this is really an opportunity to be able to share and to minister for the Lord. If there anybody else that would like to share their words, may you unmute your mic. Forgive me for my mishap. Who would like to take the following paragraph, if you want?
When the Israelites entered Canaan, they did not fulfill God's purpose by taking possession of the whole land. After making a partial conquest, they settled down to enjoy the fruit of their victories. In their belief, by unbelief and love of ease, they congregated in the portions already conquered instead of pushing forward to conquer new territory. Thus they began to depart from God. By their failure to carry out His purpose, they made it impossible for Him to fulfill to them His promise of blessing. Is not the church of today doing the same thing with the whole world before them in need of the gospel? Professing Christians congregate where they themselves can enjoy gospel privileges. They do not feel the necessity of occupying new territory, carrying the message of salvation in regions beyond. They refuse to fulfill Christ's commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. Are they less guilty than was the Jewish church? No, more guilty. We have their example, and so we shouldn't be repeating it.
Who would like to take the following paragraph, dear ones?
The professed followers of Christ are on trial before the heavenly universe, but the coldness of their zeal and the feebleness of their efforts in God's service mark them as unfaithful. If what they are doing were the best they could do, condemnation would not rest upon them. But where were the hearts enlisted in the work, they could do much more. They know, and the world knows, that they have to a great degree lost the spirit of self-denial and cross-bearing. Many there are against those against whose names will be found written in the books of heaven, not producers, but consumers. By many who bear Christ's name, His glory is obscured, His beauty veiled, His honor withheld.
You know, when the paragraph was being read, it brought me back to when the disciple at the beginning, when they were disciple, they may not really know the fullness of the gospel, but as they stepped out in faith, little by little, the Lord, and also through the power of the Holy Spirit, was teaching them. We don't really have to know everything. We just have to have the willingness to be able to step out in faith. Because if we do, the Lord will see the willingness of our heart, and He will aid us. We have more resources now than even the disciple had then. So I know it's very difficult and sometimes it's very scary because you don't really know what to do. But there's a promise through the Holy Spirit that he says that we don't have to prepare anything, that he will tell us and give us the word that we need to have. It's just a matter of stepping out in faith. And we are so grateful that the Holy Spirit can do that, because we don't really know what is in the heart of the individual or those that will be hearing from us. But praise God that we have the Godhead to aid us along step by step. And even if we do fall in any kind of misunderstanding, or the Lord also used that to be able to even let us be aware of things that we are not even aware of. So if we can just take the courage that whatever it is that we have, we may not even be acquainted with some talents that we may have, but if the Lord place us to be able to step out, you will see that there's something that you never thought you will be able to do. I'm very much afraid to be able to speak in public, but I do very good in one-on-one. And like right now, I'm extremely nervous, but I want to do God's will, and I want to support our dear brother. I take the courage and just leave everything in God's hand. So everyone has a work to do. And nobody else can do that work but you. You just have to take a hold on the one that can give us the courage and give us the strength to do it. And then we just leave the rest to him. I just wanted to share that. Who would like to take the next paragraph, dear ones?
There are many whose names are on the church books, but who are not under Christ's rule. They're not heeding his instruction or doing his work. Therefore, they are under the control of the enemy. They are doing no positive good. Therefore, they are doing incalculable harm because their influence is not a savor of life unto life. It is a savor of death unto death.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's like history repeating itself. And I want to say something. I don't mean to chuckle, but I remember the first time when I was supposed to be able to share something in the room and show you how delicate God is. We used to do it on Wednesday. And I didn't even know little by little the Lord was kind of giving me the courage. And then there was something that our dear brother shared. And that was when we were at the table and my sister's dining room, and I was very scared to even approach anything. And he uttered the same thing that he's uttering right now. He says, who made man's mouth? And he didn't know that in my own personal moment with the Lord, that was the scripture that the Lord gave me. So anytime when he touches that, I could feel the Lord tugging on my heart. Praise the Lord for being so individually a savior to each and every one of us. Who would like to be able to share the other paragraph? The Lord says,
the Lord says, shall I not visit for these things? Jeremiah 5:9. Because they failed of fulfilling God's purpose, the children of Israel were set aside, and God's call was extended to other peoples. If deemed to prove unfaithful, were they not in like manner be rejected?
That if you're moved, you could continue.
Okay. Thank you, my daughter.
You're welcome, my father.
In the parable of the vineyard, it was the husbandman whom Christ pronounced guilty. It was they who had refused to return to their Lord the fruit of his crown. In the Jewish nation, it was the priests and teachers who, by misleading the people, had robbed God of the service which he claimed. It was they who turned the nation away from Christ. And presently, as far as we can see, this is happening today, all over the world. There is a behavior of our political leaders that are not religious. They really don't care about the law of the Lord. They don't care about the Lord. They care about themselves. And they're guiding God's people to damnation. What's supposed to take place? We must secure ourselves to be walking on the path that the Lord has given us, has established, because time will come when the Lord will come forth, because if everyone don't know, the Lord knows. And everything is still under his vigilance, under his care, and we have only one thing to do is to watch and pray and strengthen our belief in him and praise him.
Thank you, dear brother and dad, for sharing. This is a time of pressing and ironing. We have to really keep our eyes stayed on Christ. No man is able to be able to solve this world circumstances. It takes a God to do so. And we pray to be able to share with many, not to worry, because the kingdom that is coming is a kingdom with no end. We are just pilgrim passing through. Who would like to take the following paragraph, dear ones?
The law of God unmixed with human tradition was presented by Christ as the great standard of obedience. This aroused the enmity of the rabbis. They had set human teaching above God's word and had turned the people away from his precepts. They would not give up their man-made commandments in order to obey the requirements of the word of God. They would not, for the truth's sake, sacrifice the pride of reason and the praise of men. When Christ came, presenting to the nation the claims of God, the priests and elders denied his right to interpose between them and the people. They would not accept his rebukes and warnings, and they set themselves to turn the people against him and to compass his destruction.
Amen. We are going to take the following paragraph, and we are going to stop here to pick it up next week. Who would like to take the next paragraph, dear ones?
Or the rejection of Christ. For the rejection of Christ with the results that followed, they were responsible. A nation's sin and a nation's ruin were due to the religious leaders. Wow. Their rejection of Christ led to their destruction. I mean, they rejected Christ, they rejected the Romans, they rejected everybody but themselves, and they got their city destroyed and a million of them killed.
I would like to add on, also, it's just bringing to mind within the homes. You have a nation within your own home. So when us as parents are not doing what we're supposed to be doing that is required of the Lord as parents, we are doing the same, the example that we set for our children will either bring them to salvation or it will bring ruin to them as well.
Yes. If the children are lost, the parents may be lost also.
Well, dear ones, we are going to stop here, and we will pick it up if somebody can be able to just remind us. We're going to pick it up where it says, in our day are not the same influences at work, which we definitely agree. And the scripture and the spirit of prophecy tell us that that's why we have to be very careful, because we as parents, we are the reflection of the children. So if we have ungodly parents or we in whatever manner, the children will learn from our example. So this is something that the Lord had gave us. Even when you look at the commandment, in the first four, the head is God. And in the sixth is the parents. So the children only have who they see every day. And who it is that they see, they will mimic. And whatever it is that we teach them, if it doesn't have anything to do with God, they will grow up Christless. But if we do, and they have the opportunity also to see us praying and looking for counsel to God and doing everything, but so they can be able to see that the one that can lead not only the children, but also ourselves is the Lord. So if we as parents let the children know that we are also walking, they are the little ones, but we still are children, that we're both supposed to learn and ask the Lord to teach so we can be able to be one another's bearing, watching each other's walk, especially if it's in a Christian home. And if it's not, just let's continue to pray that each family will have an opportunity to know who Christ is, and that they can be able to bring salvation to the family as well. So we're going to stop right here, and I'll just give you the page. Just a minute. Okay, so we're going to pick it up, page 305, paragraph 2. So we're going to take a few moments, dear ones, before we are ready to go to the next service by God's grace. we will begin the recording by God's, like about 3 o'clock. So we have these few minutes.